This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. Disasters, whether natural or man-made, are part of life. As part of our ministry, Lutherans lend both material and spiritual support to those who suffer a disaster. A tornado struck Delmont, South Dakota at mid-morning on Sunday, May the 10th. It scored a direct hit on Zion Lutheran Church, which was conducting Sunday school at the time. The teachers and children made it to the basement just before the twister hit, destroying the church and the parish house, as well as much of the town. Fortunately, there were no fatalities. The LCMS dispatched a disaster response team to the site immediately after the storm. One of the team members was Pastor Mike Meyer, who tells World Lutheran News Digest what he saw. Wherever they go, relief workers are messengers of God's love and compassion. And sometimes, well, the workers have four legs, a tail, and a wet nose. Tim Hetzner, president of Lutheran Church Charities, describes the Canine Comfort Dog program for World Lutheran News Digest.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. Again this year, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is joining with Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service to recognize Refugee Sunday, June the 21st, as a special time of walking alongside migrants and refugees. Lutherans began a ministry to resettle fellow Lutherans displaced by war in 1939. Since then, LIRS has helped nearly 400,000 refugees from all over the world. Of the 70,000 refugees that resettle in the United States each year, LIRS helps about 10,000. Imagine the sight. More than 3,000 pastors lined up under the hot sun, crowding and pushing forward just to pick up a free book. Well, this was the scene at the April Pastors Conference at the Ethiopian Evangelical Church, Makani Yesus. Chaos ensued in at least five times, recalled the Reverend Matthew Heisey, executive director of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, an LCMS-recognized service organization that translated and published the books. The distribution of the Book of Concord, a very foundational book of Lutheran faith that explains what the Bible means, was a key step in achieving one of the goals of the conference. Though the Ethiopian Church has existed since 1959, today, it's the fastest-growing Lutheran church body in the world. World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Jesus in the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with Worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work that he will not see Lutheran Firehound.
We had a terrible incident happen in South Dakota where a tornado actually made a direct hit on one of our churches, Zion Church, I believe it was, in Delmont, South Dakota. And you were one of the people who responded and visited there.
Yeah, I was. I joined a team with two other individuals, the Reverend Ross Johnson, who's the director of disaster response, and then also Eric Lunsford, who is the staff photographer for the LCMS. Just to kind of set a little background, the tornado hit the congregation. It was during Sunday school, about 10:45 in the morning. Surprised everybody. Now, thanks be to God, the Sunday school teachers, the kids that were in the Sunday school, all made it downstairs, and so they were able to weather the storm, and they were brought through safely by the grace of God. Such a surprising thing for them, an unusual time for a tornado. Really, really kind of shocked the community. And the congregation itself, the church building, is really a total loss. Beautiful building, too.
I've seen pictures of the post-tornado church, and it just destroyed. Could you describe it? You know what you saw when you first went up and saw this church?
Yeah, when we first got there, we drove in. Really, it was the next morning when we got there, Monday morning, and we saw the walls were still standing. The brick exterior. It's a 100-year-old church almost, and the walls were still standing, but the roof had collapsed in into the sanctuary. But once we got closer, we could tell that even though the walls were standing, they were all leaning one way or another. So there was no real degree of safety to be in the building. And yet, as we were there, church members were trying to do some salvage work. We joined them in a little bit of salvage work to get some stained glass windows out of the church building and to help clean up some of the parsonage as well, because that took a direct hit. And to see the roof caved in and to walk inside the building and just briefly glimpse how the roof had caved in on the balcony, the organ, the beautiful pipe organ, it was painted and it was on the front, just a very decorative piece, to see it kind of out in front of the church building now on the ground, strewn about with the metal pipes and the wood pipes. It was just a kind of a visually devastating thing to see.
Well, the church itself was totally destroyed along with the parsonage, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Hopefully they were insured. Are they planning to rebuild? How are we going to handle this? This is our church.
Yeah, this is one of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're suffering, and we suffer with them. They did have an insurance policy, and they're looking at their options right now. But this is one of those situations that no church ever really plans on. Most churches that enter into building campaigns have some level of preparation beforehand. You know, they might think about it months or even years in advance to put a group together to help spearhead that. They'll raise money for it. They'll do all of these things. But here it's just been foisted upon them, and this congregation that had no inkling of doing a building campaign is now in the midst of one. And so they're having those conversations right now, and they're going to be having a congregational meeting here in the near future, maybe within the next week or two, to discuss what are they going to do? What is it going to look like? And what kind of a time frame it might be?
I understand the congregation is headed by Pastor Christopher Bucklew, I believe is his name.
Yeah, Brian Bucklew, actually.
I beg your pardon. Have you met with him? What did he tell you?
Yeah, I've met with him a couple of times. We saw him there, and one of the first things, I mean, really, I can describe him in two words, and that's faithful pastor. So when we first met him, he was meeting his congregation again for the first time after the storm had hit, because he was with an ailing grandmother in Arkansas when the storm hit. And so we kind of got in at the same time, and he led this congregation in prayers. He spoke to them God's word. He led them in the worship of the church on Thursday night for Ascension. But really a wonderful fellow, but a family man as well. He has three children and a wife, and so he has to take care of them as well. But we spent some time walking the streets of the community, talking with members who had lost their homes or been affected. We spent some time with him, even talking with non-members who he was acquainted with. He has a very good feel for the history of the town, the history of a lot of the families there, having been there. You know, not that a terribly long amount of time, I think maybe only 3 years or so that he's been out of the seminary, but really has a wonderful feel for the congregation and the community there.
And also to remember that he himself lost his home. He and his family now are without the parsonage.
Yeah, so they've lost that, and I talked with him on the phone and received some good updates. The parsonage, they've taken the walls down on the parsonage, and they think they're going to be able to salvage the basement and rebuild from that part of the foundation up. So they're looking at floor plans now as this. But, you know, so they've been dislocated as well as a number of their families. And so we look at these things and we recognize that not only was the church affected, but the pastor was affected. And how do we care for both? How do we care for the shepherd and the sheep in this case, as they're all suffering together?
With the physical building now being destroyed, where is the congregation meeting? Are they getting any support from other churches or other groups? Or how can they meet?
Well, this first Sunday, they met in the parking lot of their church building, and they had divine service there. And then they do have a couple of options that they're looking at for an interim period. One of them is another LCMS congregation nearby. This is a part of a dual parish. And so they do have a connection there, although it's a very young connection. I don't think that's been a dual parish for that long of a time. So it's a young connection. However, they also have, they found some rentable space within the community, an old grocery store that is in fairly decent condition. And so they're going to look at the possibility of renting that for a year or 18 months, however long it needs to be before they have the chance to rebuild. And it's going to take time. It doesn't happen overnight. Many of the listeners might remember what happened in Pilger, Nebraska last year when there was a similar situation. An LCMS congregation took a direct hit by a tornado, destroyed the building and the parsonage. Parsonage there has since been rebuilt, but the church building is, I mean, they're still in the conversations there on what to rebuild and how long. And it's been almost a year since that tornado hit.
Is there anything that individual Lutherans or congregations throughout the country can do to help these people?
I think primarily what's needed is prayer for this shepherd and the sheep who are in the midst of this suffering. I think there's also ways to give, either to the South Dakota district. They've set up a fund, and we have at the Senate offices as well, that anything that we receive for the tornado response in Del Monte is going to go to that response. And so we've established that as well. So you can go to the website, lcms.org/disaster. There's a Give Now button right there. Or you can visit us on our Facebook page and receive some updates as well, and see what might be needed now.
You mentioned that Eric Lunsford, the Synod's official photojournalist, was with you, and I know I've seen his work. He's a marvelous photographer. Will he be posting his photos on the website, or will this appear in Encounter magazine, or do you know?
That's an excellent question. We have already posted the gallery online. So it is available through the lcms.org/disaster website. If you click on photos, you can find it. There was also a Reporter Online article written that includes a link to these photos, and really wonderful photos. I mean, I've looked through them again, and every time I see the photos that come about from his deployment with us or elsewhere, I'm just so incredibly impressed with how he captures not just the moment for historical context, but really kind of captures the emotion of what everybody is going through at that time.
Yeah, Eric likes to focus on the story, and of course, people are the story. You know, the church is not a building. The church, that's the people in it, and, you know, the congregation and the church will continue. We can't abandon these people, and they won't abandon us.
Amen. I can't say it any better than that.
Thank you very much, Pastor. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
World Lutheran News Digest will return right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, host of Jubilation on Worldwide KFUO. Coming up this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., I'm going to be sharing not only great Christ-centered hymns and songs, I'm going to be also providing various scriptures for you all about the subject of a real hope. See, when yours is centered in Jesus totally, then you have a hope with no minus sign attached to it. So join me Sunday for great music and a hope with no minus sign. That's Jubilation from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Pastor William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship. Jesus said some hard things in John 6, and lots of his disciples turned away and stopped following him. He asked the 12 if they wanted to go too. Peter responded for them all, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Words of eternal life, those are the words your Jesus has for you. Join me for the next broadcast of Thy Strong Word, 11 a.m. Central on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
There's a special place where rare books from times long ago come alive in your imagination. A special place where you can rediscover values that transcend time itself. A special place of adventure, mystery, and drama that's both old and new at the same time. Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇതു ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
Lutherans are quick to respond whenever tragedy strikes. We provide material assistance where needed, but just as important as the physical needs are the spiritual ones. Lutheran Church Charities is one of the organizations that responds, according to Tim Hetzner, LCC President.
Lutheran Church Charities is an RSO, Recognized Service Organization of the LCMS. We're located in the Northern Illinois District, suburb of Addison, Illinois, suburb of Chicago. But we serve the entire U.S. and work through our LCMS congregations to bring mercy and compassion and presence and proclamation of Jesus Christ.
The gospel message of comfort is given in a number of ways, including using God's first article gifts of creation. One of these gifts is the dog. Lutheran Church Charities makes extensive use of comfort dogs to help people in crisis.
We have the comfort dog ministry, and now also we launched in August a canine military dog ministry where we're placing virtually comfort dogs with veterans for the sole purpose of those veterans and serving other veterans.
When the program first started, there was some question about using the dogs for ministry.
Well, you know, when we started this, we got criticized from some circles in our Senate on how can a dog do ministry.
Hetzner explains that dogs, as part of God's first article gifts of creation, can be seen as effective tools for spreading the gospel message of love and forgiveness.
They certainly is a tool that God provides to touch people. And if we use it to proclaim healing and hope and all that of Jesus Christ and salvation in him, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's what we're to be doing.
Hetzner says the idea for the comfort dogs came to him while he was doing disaster relief work in 2005 in New Orleans following Hurricane Katrina. He says he saw firsthand the bond of people and their pets, as some hurricane victims refused to leave their homes without their dogs. LCC started the Comfort Dog Program 3 years later with its first Golden Retriever. All of LCC's Comfort Dogs are Goldens. At first, there were only a few dogs, and all based out of the LCC's headquarters near Chicago. Then, in 2008, Hetzner says, God hit him in the head with a message to expand the program nationwide.
And then in 2008, in February, at Northern Illinois University up here in DeKalb, there was a shooting. I think it was 17 students were killed. And we were called to bring in the dogs. So we flew in and brought in the dogs that we knew and had them out. And it was just one of the most healing things for these kids. And then we were invited back. And that's when God hit me in the head and says, you know, don't wait for crisis and disasters.
Since then, there are more than 70 comfort dogs located in 10 states. The dogs are owned either by LCC or by sponsoring congregations and housed locally.
All of our dogs are either owned by Lutheran Church Charities or by the congregation in which they're placed in. And we train then caregivers, two sets of caregivers for the dog. We train a top dog, and then we train handlers to work with the dogs.
The dogs themselves are adopted as puppies and undergo rigorous training.
We train our own dogs, and we start at 8 weeks and go to a year in training their dogs. So they're trained at the level of a service dog. But we don't use them as service dogs because our handlers are not disabled.
The handlers are not only trained to handle the dogs, but also to help spread the message of Christ to people in need.
The handlers, I mean, the dogs are really the bridge for ministry. So the handlers that are trained to listen, train how to pray with people, and just to bring that mercy and compassion to Christ, and proclamation of Christ, to the people that we're serving.
Hetzner says a victim talking about the incident is a vital part of the healing process. Often, the victims will talk to a dog before speaking to another person.
And in any crisis or disaster, one of the key parts of healing is to be able to talk about it. And the dog becomes safe to talk to. Most people will talk to the dog before they talk to the person.
Hetzner says that dogs are the best listeners for people in distress.
Dogs, of course, are good listeners. They show unconditional love. They don't take notes. They're confidential. You can hug them. You can lay down on them. You can do just about anything with them. And it helps, whether it's children or adults, it helps them in the midst of what they're going through to feel some sense of love and warmth.
LCC Comfort Dogs were called to the scene of the tragic Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting, where a madman killed 20 children and 6 adults. The survivors and dogs gathered in a high school auditorium the following day. Hetzner describes the scene.
You know, when we were in Newtown, our dogs, they would lay down. We were in the high school there the day after the shootings. Our dogs would just lay down in various places with the handler. Kids would come down, and you'd have 7 or 8 kids sitting around the dog, all petting the dog. And as they're petting the dog, they're talking.
One child in particular stands out in Hester's memory.
Dogs bring out. We saw that in Sandy Hook. We had one child that didn't speak at all for 4 days and came out and slowly went up to one of the dogs and started petting it. And then hugged it. Next thing we knew, he was lifting up the ear of the dog and telling the dog what had happened. He happened to be in one of the classrooms where the shootings took place.
Sometimes the dogs won't wait to be approached. They'll take the lead and go to the person who needs them the most.
We see this all the time where they will actually, they can spot somebody across a room that's hurting. And they'll give the handler a little nudge. And, of course, you know, they're leashed with us, but we can walk over to that person. And the dog will sense it, even when there's no humans around there that know that that person is hurting. The dog will. They sense it.
One new area of mission for LCC is working with veterans. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has a long history serving the military.
Now, the beauty here is being LCMS. I mean, LCMS has such a network when it comes to military outreach. I mean, we started the military chaplains.
Hetzner says LCC and Comfort Dogs have been increasingly invited by veteran groups in recent years.
Well, what we saw happening was we were getting invited out with more and more veterans events, VA hospitals, VFW halls, and then individual families of veterans or active military.
Veterans are often reluctant to speak of their experiences. The best way to reach them is with another veteran.
The best way to serve a veteran and help a veteran that's suffering from whatever is another veteran. they simply will not open up, in most cases, to anyone else.
Handlers, who are also military veterans, bring comfort dogs to other veterans in need of an understanding ear and a message of unconditional love. A person's relationship with a comfort dog lasts longer than just one meeting. Each dog has its own business card and Facebook page.
All their dogs have their own business card. With their picture on it, they all have their own Facebook page, Twitter, and email account. Now, we don't do that to be cute. Anyone who pets one of our dogs gets one of their business cards. And they're told, hey, like them on Facebook or, you know. And so what happens is it extends the contact that we have with the person when they pet the dog.
Mission is reaching out to people with the gospel message of forgiveness and comfort. Hetzner says comfort dogs are the best outreach program he's ever experienced.
I was in parish ministry for 25 years. This is one of the most effective ways of outreach I have ever worked with.
God has given us many wonderful things in his first article gifts, and it's our responsibility to use the tools he provides to spread the message of Jesus Christ. To learn more about Comfort Dogs and Lutheran Church Charities, visit their website at lutheranchurchcharities.org. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest. World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.